Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We're doing the chapter Babu Tahrim al-Ghadari, the chapter on the prohibition of treachery, of breaking one's promise, weighing against one's contract, weighing against one's word. We explain the two types of contract you get. One is a contract that is one-sided, and one is a contract that is binding from both sides. We discussed all that yesterday. Continuing with the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, وأنس رضي الله عنه قالوا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لكل غادر لواء يوم القيامة يقال هذه غدرة فلان متفق عليه. حضرت ابن مسعود and حضرت ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrate that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that every treacherous person will have a flag on the day of Qiyamah, and it will be announced, this is the treachery of so and so. In the time of the Arabs, there was a practice that would take place that when a person had broken his contract, in other words, there was a contract, two-sided contract, agreed upon contract, and now a person went against the contract, it was deemed such a serious thing that a person had broken his contract, he had broken his promise to fulfill a contract, his pledge he had broken, that now in the market, in one riwayat it comes, in the marketplace they would put a flag, a black flag with this person's name on it. Anybody going past, then ask it, what is it? Then he'll be told that this is the flag of such and such a person, that he went against his contract, he broke a contract. It would be such a disgrace. And in one narration it comes that at the time of Hajj, this would be erected. People going, I must know in those days, how many people going for Hajj, and now how many more people going for Hajj. But anyway, that was the practice. They would put a black flag like that. And then when a person, if he had entered into a contract, and it was very difficult for him to fulfill his side of the contract, to fulfill his deal of the contract, his bargain, whatever it was very difficult, but he went out of his way and he fulfilled it, then they would put a white flag. And now this would be a means, people ask, but what is this for? See, such and such a person, it was very, very difficult for him, but he still honored the contract. In other words, so much of, from here we learn that in that time also, although it was a time of Jahiliyyah, so much emphasis they would have in terms of being honest, in terms of fulfilling one's contract, in terms of going out of one's way to do what he can do to fulfill his side of the deal. And Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal li kulli ghadirin liwa'un indastihi yawm al-qiyamah yurfa'u lahu bi qadri ghadrihi ala wala ghadira a'azamu ghadran min amiri amatin. Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every treacherous person will have a flag at his rear on the day of Qiyamah. It will be raised according to the extent of his treachery. Listen, there is no treacherous person greater than the ruler of the general masses. Imagine, that was at the time of Jahiliyyah. This was a practice. So now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning that on the day of Qiyamah, every person from the time of Adam alayhi salam right up till the last person, can you imagine what a means of embarrassment it would be for a person who has broken his contract? That everyone will come to know that this person went against his deal. And how Allah Pak will make it known, that best known to him. But this is what will happen, that a person who was a treacherous person, he went against his contract. Every treacherous person will have a flag at his rear on the day of Qiyamah. It will be raised according to the extent of his treachery. Such a serious thing. We feel shy sometimes if one person sends a message out with our name on it explaining that this is what we did. We'll feel shy, we'll feel embarrassed. Imagine, this is just not one message. This is from the whole ummah, not only this ummah, and all the other ummahs, people will come to know that this person was a treacherer. He used to go against his deals and his contracts. One more hadith in this chapter. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal Allah ta'ala ثلاثة أنا خصمهم يوم القيامة رجل أعطي بي ثم رجل أعطى بي ثم غدر ورجل باع حرا فأكل ثمنه ورجل استأجر أجيرا فاستوفى منه ولم يعطه أجره رواه البخاري. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه نريد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, I will personally dispute with three people on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Pak is saying that I will personally dispute with three people on the day of Qiyamah. Can you imagine how serious this crime must be for Allah Pak to say that I will personally dispute with three people on the day of Qiyamah? The first one is one who makes a covenant in my name and then he breaks it. It was very common. We may not see it in our country because it's an un-Islamic country, but in Islamic countries very often you see that this deal or this agreement is sealed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With the name of Allah, this agreement is done. So here a person has entered into an agreement, takes the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he breaks it. This is not a small thing. Allah Pak's name is taken and the agreement is broken. So how often we say that a person takes Allah Pak's name and any deal, and you should think about this, that we're taking Allah Pak's name and then we're breaking it. Allah Pak is saying, I will personally dispute with this person on the day of Qiyamah with three people. So the first person is the one who makes a covenant in my name and then he breaks it. Next is one who sells a free person and then devours the income from the sale. We know a person is a free person, he's not a slave, but another person goes and sells him as a slave. How much of difficulty this person will go through? He'll get that stain of being a slave, his whole family lineage will now have that stain of a slave, and then this person now devours that money also, which was completely haram, not permissible to sell a person who is a slave. Now he does this, so Allah Pak will personally, one thing we learn from here, is Allah Pak doesn't tolerate zulam. This is a form of zulam. A man who is a free man, being sold now as a slave, this is a complete zulam. Maybe he doesn't have that power, or he doesn't have that ability, or he's in a foreign land now. It is difficult for him now to defend himself. He's afraid that what these people will do to me. So he just keeps quiet. But Allah Pak is saying that I will fight on his behalf. I will personally dispute to that person that does it. So here we learn, Allah Pak doesn't like zulam. And the third is, one who employs a person, he then extracts full work from him, but he does not pay him his wage. Now this is the third person. He employed some person, the man did his work, but he didn't get paid his wages. This is something that Allah Pak doesn't like. How often it happens? A person thinks that, no, the company is owing, I'm not owing, some technicality is yours, and the poor staff are waiting for the salaries, they're not getting it. And sometimes this person is gone for Umrah, he's gone for Hajj, he's gone for holidays, etc., and the staff are suffering. The person should remember this hadith that Allah Pak says, I will personally dispute with such a person on the day of Qiyamah. He takes that work from his staff, but he doesn't pay them his wages. And many, very, very often it happens that they have nobody to turn to. There's no other job they can get because it's very hard to get jobs. So they just keep quiet. The meanwhile, he's in a position to pay them. Or even if he pays them slowly, he can pay them. But he's not interested. He said, no, when things are better, then I will pay my staff. It is okay. We should remember this other hadith that we did. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that pay the laborer his wage before his sweat even dries. In other words, when it comes to wages, don't delay. Therefore, it's a good practice to have in a person's business that if wages are due month end, try and pay it by the 25th. If a person has the policy that I'll pay it by the 25th, even if 1 month he gets delayed, he goes to 26th or 27th or even 28th, but he still knows that he paid it before the due date. In other words, he was fully in practice, fully in conformity with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They pay him even before his sweat dry. Before it was due also, he gave the staff his salary. Before it was due, he had given him his salary. If it does happen that he's delayed, it still doesn't go past the past date, past the due date. But if a person has a policy to pay right at the last day, if for whatever reason it's delayed, unnecessarily now he's putting the staff into extra pressure by going into the following month. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Hazrat Mullah Umar Sahib, Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullahi alayh, he would say a very nice thing. He said, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone respects it, everyone reveres it. And one of the reasons that people revere it and respect it is this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it allows us to fulfill one faraz that is due upon us, that is salah. Because of this house of Allah, this masjid, we are able to fulfill one command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that, we got the reverence of the masjid in our heart. One of the reasons is because of this ability to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this place. But whereas if you look at it, there's no life, there's no ruh in the masjid. It's building, it's block, it's mortar, it's concrete, etc., wood, steel. But then he explains that a person that is a poor person, person that doesn't have much, he's a poor person, he's a poor Muslim, this person is also allowing you to fulfill one faraz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is giving zakat. If there were no poor people in this world, then who would the zakat be given to? Why don't we show that man that respect like how we show the respect to the house of Allah? He also deserves the respect because he's also giving people the ability to fulfill one faraz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the faraz of zakat. So he deserves more respect than even the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But today we'll find people, a person is willing to give his life for the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet he's willing to abuse a poor person. So therefore we should never look down and never abuse a poor person, always have place for him in our heart. And he's also allowing people to fulfill one farz of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like how that masjid is allowing people to fulfill that farz that is due upon us. May Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.